This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend, Pat O'Rourke, introduces me, Patrick Winogur, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I feel like your love of this show is like a child to me.
like an android child that doesn't know right from wrong or what feelings are or how to interact.
But you can use contractions.
I can.
And so can your love.
I've been able to use contractions.
Since before watching
Star
Trek? You
were right. Yeah.
I don't know. Before I met you, I am not certain that you ever used a contraction.
Well, now I definitely can. Now, you must have improved upon the previous model.
I hope we don't have a cascade failure soon.
Yes. That would be tragic and horrifying to watch. We're talking about The Offspring, by the way.
Love this episode.
It's one
I love
where
it.
Data makes a kid.
He does, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a little weird at first, I'm not going to lie.
There's some weird moments and weird motivations throughout it, but I think at its core, an amazing episode.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
Yeah, cool. I'm so happy that you did. I have a fun fact for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you notice how Riker only has pretty much one memorable scene?
He shows up for a comedic cameo.
Yeah.
And nothing else, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Why
because Jonathan Frakes,
uh-huh.
This is his directing debut.
Whoa,
yeah.
Fancy.
So it's the first Star Trek The Next Generation episode that he directs. Jonathan goes on to direct many episodes of Star Trek.
Oh.
And this is our first taste of his style.
Well,
and a
cool.
good one to come in
yeah,
on.
Yeah, not a bad episode.
Yeah.
Way to go, Riker.
Way to go, Riker.
Yeah. So I have a headline for Patrick's log. Mm-hmm. This was March 12th, 1990. And there's just a very short blurb. World in brief. El Salvador, slain archbishop proposed as saint. The Salvadoran Roman Catholic Church will ask the Vatican to declare the late Archbishop Oscar Romero as a saint. Romero was gunned down in 1980 as he conducted a mass in San Salvador. Blah, blah, blah. They're saying that they're going to try to start the canonization process. He still isn't. I think he was beatified 2 years ago.
What does beatified mean?
So beatified is like, there's like a surprising amount of bureaucracy that goes to becoming a saint.
Not surprising.
Not surprising at
Not
all.
Surprising
yeah,
at all.
I know.
An organization that old.
Right. So beatified is like they've acknowledged that he's in heaven, I think. And then you have to have three miracles after that to get
That's
a saint.
Right.
And people have already come up with like, because everyone in El Salvador has been like asking for intercession from Oscar Romero because, you know, he was actually a great guy. He got murdered by a fascist death squad. It totally sucked the way that he was killed. But so he's like a folk hero. And so they've been like asking for intercession and like all these miracles have been coming up and they have like a whole panel to review them. And they're like, no, this one doesn't count yet. So
well,
they're still waiting on that.
To prove a miracle in this day and age.
Oh, yeah.
It?
It's hard, I think, in any point. Yeah.
Yeah, but I imagine in the 1200s or so.
We have, there's a guy in like my family, I say my family, like from like 300 years ago. My grandmother kept track of all this shit. So there's this guy, Hermann Glandorf. He was like my great uncle or something. He was a Jesuit missionary to Mexico from Germany. And he's like a folk saint in the part of Mexico where he was. And there's like a little cave where they have like relics of this guy or something. And my grandmother had always told us, like, he's beatified. Make sure if you're ever praying for something, you need a miracle, you ask for intercession of Blessed Father Glandorf. I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. And apparently one of the miracles that they're trying to get is that he had these sandals. He walked all over Mexico or something with them, and they never wore out.
That's a hell,
he's got
that's
magic,
a hell of a miracle.
He's got magic shoes.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
I guess,
wish I had a pair of those.
I wish I had magic shoes, too. I got to spend like $60 every couple months because I'm so hard on them. But yeah, no, I think Oscar Romero had some pretty good, a lot better than that.
Is this relative of yours a saint? Or
no.
We know he's in heaven.
I think he's beatified. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I'm not really the guy to ask. I don't go to mass that often.
No, so. I mean, I don't really practice Catholicism on a real level anymore.
Right. So I'm not really sure how. If anyone is a seminarian that happens to listen to this show, hit us up. Let us know what is the process exactly. I just found this, you know, headline I thought was interesting for an episode of Star Trek I'm going to talk about. I probably should have picked something else. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's great. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
But it is a little like, we're both Catholic guys, or raised Catholic
right.
at the very least. And so that's like interesting to us.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But we
sure
also
know
don't
else.
Know shit about it.
Oh, yeah. I read it because it, like, I looked at it like, wow, slow news week. Oh, Oscar Romero. Yeah, I know who that is. Oh, damn. I should have. Oh, there's nothing else to this.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, the episode.
Yeah, let's get into the episode.
The Offspring. So, yeah, this is the famous one where Data makes a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the first thing that we find out about it is in the captain's log, Riker is on shore leave or something.
He's gone. They explain away his existence. And I was thinking about this. They've never done that for Deanna Troi. And we've gone many episodes without seeing her.
Nope.
Is she just not a high enough ranking
I guess not.
Officer?
Yeah. Well, he's like second in command, so I guess. I wonder if Riker had that written in. Make sure they know I'm on shore leave.
It's all to set up his joke. It's all to set up the joke.
Yeah, I know, because he comes back later.
Yeah, and it's a great, it's beautiful, but
I guess. It's just goofy as hell.
It's super goofy, but they added a line to the beginning to set up this thing that happens in like act two or three.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, so we do see Troi, though, in like the beginning.
Yeah.
Geordi and Troi and Wesley are going to the lab because Data has called them there. Because he's been working on something, and he wants to show them. And they have no idea what it is.
No, and he's been really secretive.
Right, and I think Wesley mentions that, like, he even kept the door to the lab locked. And they're like, oh, well, how did you know? So Wesley's been, like, trying to break in and spy on him. And
I think it's super weird, right?
Yeah, it's
and
really
Data
odd.
Would know that he's trying to break in.
Exactly.
Data's in there working.
He also has, like, the strength of 20 men. Like, he would be able to lock him out if he really needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have no idea what's there. Geordi mentioned something about, like, a cybernetic conference that Data was at.
Right, so he was learning more about modern techniques of cybernetics.
Right. He you know, he went to McCormick Place, and, you know, he saw the booths and stuff, and, you know, he picked up a couple ideas.
It's like, look at all these new vendors.
Right. And ever since then, he's been talking about is cybernetics. So that's what he's really into. Then they go to the lab, and Data is like, we have a couple shots of him, like, putting a foot onto an ankle or something. So we know that he's making an android.
He's building something. Certainly.
That looks like a person.
Yeah. Although those feet do not match the android we see soon.
No, not at all.
No.
He's like, all right, I'm almost ready. And
so
then,
whose foot was it, Patrick?
I don't know. And then they come in, and he mentions that, you know, hey, ever since I went to the cybernetics conference, I found a whole lot of information, and I've just kind of locked myself in here, and I've gone to work, and I created something, and I think you're going to like it. And down comes a humanoid-looking form. It's just kind of like this shapeless, formless pink thing for right now.
It's got an odd-shaped face.
Yeah.
As well.
It doesn't look like a person yet.
No, and it's not supposed to.
It's not supposed to, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Data refers to it as Lal. And it has a positronic brain. It is built based on Data's specifications. And he refers to it as his child, and then it calls him father.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It is his child.
Which, yeah, I don't, I guess it would be.
He literally took parts of his brain, a.k.a. chromosomes, to make this thing.
Do you know how kids are made?
Nope.
All right. We'll talk about that a little later.
I told you I was raised Catholic. Yeah, okay, I know nothing about how children are.
Yeah, me too.
Are.
Shit. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, oh boy.
So, yeah, he took a piece of his positronic brain, basically, and made another android out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, calls him dad.
Yeah.
And then that's this is where the commercial break would be.
Yeah.
And then we have, like, this little captain's log where... Picard is talking about, oh, I just found out about this thing.
He's and, pissed.
Yeah.
He's so mad.
Yep.
Which I thought was a little strange, given Measure of a Man.
Right. That he would know, yeah, there's an exchange between him and Data later that is odd.
Well, and right away in this scene when he's like, why didn't you consult me mm-hmm. when you were making this android?
Yeah, this is the part where like he's like, I wish you would have consulted me, and Data's like, I never thought it was normal to consult the captain for procreation.
Booyah!
Which is true.
Yeah, it was great. But I don't think Picard would say that.
No.
Given his experience we've already seen.
To me, it seems like a no-brainer, a no-positronic brainer, that this is a living being that Data has created.
Yes.
Right?
That has been
established. Which is all Data is saying in this little exchange, where he's just like, this is my kid.
And I've made it out of parts of me,
right.
a.k.a. chromosome.
Because part of what... it's not what a chromosome is. Technically, okay, well...
You have your elbow chromosome.
All right.
I just said chromosome.
Yeah.
It's a zone. It's a space on your body. Here's my shoulder chromosome.
So... Data's basically saying that he wants to experience what it's like to be a human, right?
Right.
And this is part of being human, is that he's noticed there's this drive to recreate yourself. And as he is one of the only persons of his kind in existence, actually the only,
yeah,
he's got to do it. You know, who else is going to do it?
Lore.
Yeah, well, Lore was evil.
Yeah.
So
it's either this kind kid or my brother's going to have a psychopath for everyone to deal with.
So, yeah, they're talking about that in the lab. And one of the questions Troy asks is, well, why doesn't it look like a person yet? He's like, well, this is basically a blank. I'm going to let it choose whatever it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have any gender or anything like that. It doesn't have to have one. It could be anything it wants. So I'm going to leave that up to Lal. Which is cool. That's kind of cool.
I think it's great. I think it's interesting, though, as we watch the story unfold.
Right.
They get to make the choice before they have any context to what that choice means.
Right, yeah.
Then they learn what the choice means. Which I guess is fair.
Yeah, and keep in mind, they're in this, you know, utopian future where those choices, I think, wouldn't matter as much.
And we'll get into a line Whoopi Goldberg says later, or Guinan says later in the episode. Because I think it's, it just implies stuff, whatever gender or way you choose to identify. But I guess you would have access to all of the, like, all of the knowledge, not wisdom, behind that choice.
Yeah. I mean, they would have to. That would, you know, they've incorporated Data's brain into this child.
But it's missing Data's experiences.
That's true.
Just the decision-making process.
Yeah, so Lal has to experience all that stuff for themselves. And as they're walking out the hall, Picard is talking to Troy about, like, you know, we can't call this thing a child because it's not biological. And Troy's like, why does that matter? Data's a person, right? It's like, well, yeah, of course. Okay. Well, he made this out of himself.
Out of his chromosomes.
Right. Yeah, he uses chromosomes to make this. It makes sense. Like, that's a kid.
Yep.
That's what that is. Like, and for some reason, Picard's, like, not quite getting it. Like, it grosses him out or something. But
he's angry.
All right. So we have this universe where they accept Data as an android, but he is a person. He has personhood. We saw Measure of a Man.
Yeah, we know Picard fought for that.
But we can't accept that he could recreate himself, or not himself, but recreate another being like him. Like, it kind of makes sense that he would be able to do that. So why wouldn't they accept personhood for that? I don't know.
I agree.
I mean, Picard eventually gets there.
He does.
But it just seems like an odd thing.
And I would say that's the crux of this episode that makes it not quite Measure of a Man.
Right.
Because the motivation behind all the issues with his offspring, we've already dealt with some of this stuff in that episode. Mm-hmm. We already agree to the fact that he is a sentient being.
Right.
Who can make decisions and is just as sentient as you or I.
Mm-hmm. And this is where where we see the scene in the ready room where Picard is talking to Data about what makes a parent or something like that, and where Data says, you know, I have this urge to recreate myself. But then Data is like, well, if this is going to get you in trouble, because that's what Picard says, this is going to get me in trouble with Starfleet because they had to take these new creations and study them. And I don't want that to happen. You should have consulted me first. Data's like, well, I can just deactivate Lao. And then he kind of catches Picard because Picard is like, you can't just turn off a living being. It's like, oh, so it is a living being.
Yeah.
So this
and Picard's
really,
like, oh, no, jaw on the floor.
Right, yeah. Like, he kind of caught him. And during this argument, I want to point out he does the double facepalm thing.
Yeah.
And this is the origin of that meme.
Yeah. So many memes coming out of these episodes.
There is another one that shows up later that I have seen before in the wild. That's where they're throwing the ball back and forth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of got Picard. He catches him and makes him admit this is the living thing.
Well, from this point on, Picard's mind has been changed.
Yeah. He is in a tight spot, and I think he just doesn't appreciate being put in a tight spot with his superiors, but he can't, like, deny that this is a life form.
No.
And he's got to respect how Data sees it as his child, because I mean, in my view, it is his child. What does it matter?
Interesting. So you think it's his child?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. Just like what Troy said, like it doesn't matter if he recreated it biologically. You know, like some families, they're not like the traditional nuclear family. You know, I've got a brother who's adopted. He's still my brother. It doesn't even come to mind that he's not blood related to me, really, and. You know, there's other families that are like blended families or something. You don't need to have like the traditional way of creating a child to have a child.
I don't know what that is. I was raised Catholic.
Okay, yeah. So when you take the man takes his chromosome.
Okay, nope, we're not going to get the chromosomes.
He takes his chromosome
and he puts it into her chromosome.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like.
I completely agree
with
you.
We've totally gone beyond like what we see as traditional families or whatever, even traditional life forms.
Already on the show, you mean? Or
yeah, on the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
So I just don't understand why it's such a big leap for Picard. I think it just seems gross to him.
I don't think it seems gross. I think you brought it up earlier in a good way where it seems inconvenient. He seems in this episode angry about the paperwork he's going to have to file.
Yeah, I know.
Much more so than the fact that this being exists.
I think he is. You're right. I think he's more mad that he's going to be in trouble with his boss. Which he will be,
yes.
But not so much that he doesn't see it as, you know, a living thing.
He's just frustrated.
Yeah.
He's having a bad day.
He wasn't expecting this,
no.
But
he thought he'd have a nice couple of days without Riker bothering
him. Yeah.
He could sip his Earl Grey and read those old-fashioned books he likes.
No such luck.
He's got stuff to deal with.
So this is where they take Lal to the holodeck to pick out her new body. And there was one part that I thought was kind of weird where, like, Lal is pointing to people and saying, gender, female, gender, male, me, gender, neuter, inadequate. And I'm just like, well, you could just stay that way. You're a robot. Also, who gives a shit?
Yeah, and there has to be beings.
There already are today.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying within her memory banks,
right.
Within her intelligence of people who are not gender,
yeah.
Gendered, gender specific.
Right. And I think that's probably just a problem with the writing. But they take her to the holodeck. They're like, all right, you pick out a body. They basically zeroed in on thousands of different template bodies that they can build for Lal. She picks either an Andorian female, a human male, a human female, or a male Klingon. And that's what she's going to pick. And she says, I've made my decision, but she doesn't say what.
Commercial break.
Commercial break. Come back. She's the human female.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Data has a daughter. That's where we're at.
I love when she starts speaking.
Yeah.
Because it makes me laugh. And no offense to this actress.
No.
I think she does a great job.
You can't match Brent Spiner.
You cannot match the way he portrays an android, where it's stilted, but still like aware of what it's doing, whereas she is so robotic throughout this episode. Every
right.
time she, especially when she speaks like a first line in a scene. It's
yeah.
so, yeah. It, like, whoa!
yeah, it felt like Small Wonder. I don't know if you
it
ever saw
did.
That show.
I loved that show! Yeah. No, it was Small Wonder!
It's basically
no,
Small
yeah,
Wonder.
Yeah, totally!
Data's taking her through his quarters and saying, like, this is your home. And he explains what a home is. And he's like, this is a chair. You sit down in a chair. Here's a painting. And then he starts, like, you know, he does the dad thing of just, like, going off about some subject he likes to talk about. And she, you know, goes and finds something else. Mm-hmm. She sits down on the sofa and remarks that it's soft. And he's like, oh, wow, you have your touch sensors are working. And he points to a flower, and she says, painting. He's like, no, this is a flower. This is a real deal. Here, smell it. And, you know, she smells it, and she's
smell.
Able to smell things. Yeah. And then we have, like, this montage of Data giving his supplemental, not captain's log, but science officer's log, about he's narrating what he's teaching her, and it's showing it as it's going on. And she's, like, having trouble drinking a glass of juice or something.
And yeah, well, basically replicating human behavior.
Yeah.
And Data is trying to push that further and further along.
Right.
We see him trying to move the mark on that.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, as that's going on, he's laying in more of his neural pathways into her brain.
Yep.
So her, basically what they're doing is they're simulating child development, where now her brain is capable of learning more and more things.
Yep. So she's developing very quickly, and we see her, like, slightly improve as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still a kid. You know, she can't do certain things correctly just yet. She's not, like, built as this perfect being, like
Definitely
how Data
not.
Is yet.
Well, Data wasn't built that way
well,
either.
Well, no. He had to learn things, too. Yeah. And that's what he's trying to give to her, because he's her parent. Then later on, he's back in his lab, and, you know, he's, like, Lal is asleep because she's got some kind of neural thing that Data's transmitting to her brain or something.
Well, this is a funny part, too, because Data keeps talking about being a dad, and then he can... every once in a while, she just kind of turns off.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Well, and then
I don't know much about kids, but I do know...
I know, you can't just turn them off and leave.
Turn off.
Figure it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, right.
And this is where Wes asks him, hey, so what does she do all day when you're on duty? Because you're running the ship most of the time. And he's like, well, you know, she has access to all of human knowledge. So she just learns that. And Wes is like, well, she doesn't, like, go to school or anything. Well, why would she need to go to school? She has access to all human knowledge, as I said. It's
yeah.
like, well, she could learn things from kids her age. And Data's like, well, she's only 2 weeks old. And he's like,
he's
okay.
Like, you know what I mean.
Close to her age.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's basically telling her, telling Data, look, she needs to be socialized. Part of the whole deal is you gotta get her around other people if you want to have her learn the human experience. And I think it kind of clicks for Data, and then Wesley gets called in for a haircut by his mom, and he's like, oh, parents, no offense, Data. Which I thought was
that
nice.
Was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as he's leaving...
Also, Wesley yeah. didn't need a haircut. His
no.
hair looked tight and good.
Well, he's on a ship. You know?
I guess it's true.
So
I wonder what getting a haircut is like in the Star Trek universe.
Do they not show it?
I cannot recall a moment where I've seen anyone getting a haircut.
What, do they use, like, lasers or something?
Right? Are you
Probably.
Still using scissors and, like, foam and
I
stuff?
Guess, like, they've used
Barbasol
scissors for,
still present?
I don't know, how many hundreds of years, so.
Yeah,
why
I guess,
why would
scissors go away?
Why would that change?
They're using a phaser now.
Right.
There's got to be some techniques that
I'm
require
I'm sure
a phaser.
It'll be totally different and inexplicably different.
So, listener, if you remember a time in the Star Trek universe where someone was getting a haircut, please send it my way because I'm really curious. Has it changed? Or is there like this kind of, you know, the new way, but a lot of people like the retro way because it's like hip and cool.
The people that like go into the holodeck to play baseball, ride horses or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I've always wanted this. I've never done this, but to go to a barber and get clean shaven with like a one of those straight razors.
I've only gotten that on the back of my neck because I have like an intense fear of getting it on my
like someone's gonna
front
slit
of the neck.
Your throat or something.
Yeah, I mean, I got held up at knife point one time. Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, that'll bring back some bad memories.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. Let me do that at home with a cheap safety razor that will not cut me or or my hair.
I'm just saying, you know, people today do that where they do like the old school way. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So Wesley leaves, and then Data turns Lal back on and starts talking to her about, all right, you know, I updated whatever your positronic brain thing I was doing. And then she starts asking him all these questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And he's trying to answer them. And then she's like, well, why am I needed here? And Data can't answer them. Like, she's just asking him all these questions. Why do we have two hands instead of five? Why? And he can't do it. And he just shuts her off.
Yeah, he turns her off. Again, parents out there, tell me, is there a way to just turn off your kid
when she asks too many why questions? But yeah, I thought that was a little funny depiction of a common complaint I've heard from parents with young kids.
That they asked why too often.
Why too often of questions that are impossible to answer. But that's basically what Data's trying to get her to do.
Well, and why don't we have five hands, Patrick?
I don't know. We could do a lot more. That's
true. We'd be a lot more
efficient.
Excellent
question.
We could have more keyboards and more magic mice in front of us.
Back in the ready room, Captain Picard is getting a communique from Starfleet. There's this guy, Admiral Haftel, who's a real jerk. He's on
this
the screen.
This guy sucks.
Yeah, he just sucks. He's asking all these questions about Lal, you know, because of course he heard about this, and he can't really understand that this is a living being, much less a child of another android. And that's what Picard is trying to say. Like, look, here's the situation. Here's how Data explained it to me, and I respect his explanation. I hope you do, too. He's like, no, that is an android that we will have to take in and study. So, you know, you're in violation of Starfleet policy here, buddy.
What's up
See
with all
later.
These humans wanting to study androids without androids around? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is up with that?
I don't get it.
Why do they think that that's going to be a better
Well,
method?
I thought they had already established, like, there is legal precedence that she has rights. That's what Measure of a Man was about.
Yeah.
So, what the hell?
Yeah, dude. Read a book.
Yeah. Read a book, Admiral Haftel. Back to Lal, she is in school. And it's not really going well. Data comes in to talk to the teacher. He's like, hey, you know, what's the problem here? And the teacher's like, look, she is too smart for this class. She's in, like, kindergarten, basically. Mm-hmm. She's saying the only reason she was placed here is because she can't, like, utilize her knowledge. She can't, like, put it into context. But she has the knowledge to be placed way, way above this level. It's just that she's not gelling with the rest of the class. And they look in through the window, and all the kids are at this table, and Lal is over in the corner of the room. Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah, well, they're scared of her.
They're scared of her.
Yeah, isn't that what the teacher
said? That's what the teacher said, and then they're in the turbo lift, and Data's talking to Lal. And
I love this scene.
Lal is like, hey, why do people laugh? Like, what's the deal with that? And Data's saying, well, this is the natural human response to something that's funny. And she says, well, I must have mastered being funny. Because, and she's saying this, like,
straight
seriously.
Face. Yeah.
Because they're all laughing. And Data says, Lal, they weren't laughing with you. They were laughing at you. Okay, explain, please. Well, they were being mean to you.
Yeah, one is kind. The other is not.
Right. And she said, well, why were they being unkind? And he says, because they're afraid of you, and sometimes humans use laughter as a way to hide their fear because they're afraid of something different. And she says, then I do not want to be different.
Who has not felt that way?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The scene was so great.
Data's crushed.
He is crushed. Well, as crushed as Data can be.
Right.
For a being that does not feel emotion,
right.
He looks quite emotional at this moment. In his eyes.
Yeah, he doesn't really know how to deal with this, but you know that he's felt this before.
Yes, exactly.
And you know that he recognizes this feeling in his daughter. So he goes and talks to Dr. Beverly Crusher, and he's like, hey, I wanted to talk to someone that is very successful as a parent. And
she I love Beverly's response.
Yeah, she's like, whoa, why, thank you.
Thank you so much for that compliment. I like to think I am.
And he relays the problem to her, and she says, well, I went through the same problem with Wesley. He went through a phase where he was not well-liked. It was hard for him to make friends. Oh, that's hard to believe. And
not anymore. He now has Jordy.
Right. He has friends
cool guy Jordy.
20 years older than him. And then she said, you know, I had to let him know that I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
And Data says, I thought about saying that to Lal, but... you know, I thought it would make her feel despair, that she would never get out of this. She says, no, that'll actually make her feel less alone. So you need to talk to her and let her know that she isn't alone. And Data's like, well, and then she says, you also need to give her love and attention. And Data says, attention I can give her, love I'm incapable of doing. And he walks away. And as he's walking away, Dr. Crusher says, well, I find that hard to believe.
Yes. I said the same thing to you.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, dude, you just made a child. And, like, you're trying to raise it. Like, that is the act of love that you're doing right there.
Is it that Data cannot feel love or doesn't recognize what love feels like?
I think he just doesn't recognize it.
Right, because he's totally acting like he's...
Right.
Like, he's in love. Or loves his child.
Yeah.
Yet, throughout this whole episode, he continues the idea that he has no feeling. But we have seen him react to things.
I think he just doesn't recognize what it is. He has no basis for understanding what it is. But he's doing all the right things, you know?
Yeah. He's being a good dad.
Right.
Best dad he can be, at least.
Exactly. So, I don't know.
He didn't leave town and build another android somewhere else.
Yeah. He didn't say, I'm going for cigarettes and then get on another ship and never show up.
Mm-hmm. Have a second family somewhere.
Yeah. He's not doing that. So, unfortunately, not everyone can be a great dad. Admiral Haftel is back on the phone again.
Deadbeat dad.
Yeah, he's waking Picard up, and Picard's like, oh, who the hell is this? And Admiral Haftel is saying, look.
Oh, hold on. We got to talk about the shot of Picard.
The fan service.
Oh, my God. So I imagine Patrick Stewart at this time was a sex symbol of some sort. He's a handsome man. He looks good. He's laying in the bed.
Obviously posed.
Obviously posed with, like, his shirt open. We see a little nipple going on. We see his chest really well. Like, this was not a man sleeping is all I'm going to say. This is a man who was put into a position where anybody who's attracted to him would be like, damn. Thank
Jonathan
you
Frakes
that.
Direct this.
Yeah!
Right? So he's
he knows what he's doing.
He's trying to get Patrick Stewart some action.
Well, he remembers season one when he was showing off.
Right, yeah. He was like, when that was someone else's turn.
Yeah.
So he wakes him up like that.
Anyway, he looked beautiful.
Yeah.
He looked great.
Way to go, Patrick Stewart. Admiral Haftel is saying, okay, I'm going to come over to the Enterprise. You need to stay where you are. I have to review the situation personally, and if it's not up to my satisfaction, I am empowered by Starfleet to take the android back with me.
To be a real big jerk, is
yeah,
what he should have said.
Like, he's basically CPS. He's like Child Protective Services.
Yeah, totally.
And Picard's like, well, shit, there's nothing I can do about that. Okay, I'll see you then.
Rules will be rules.
So he meets with Data, Picard does, and we have this little Captain's Log voiceover where... he has let Data know the situation, and they're trying to run all these experiments and get her developed as best they possibly can in preparation. And one of the things he drops during that is that Lal is Hindi for beloved, which
that
I did
was
not
interesting.
Know. Yeah. So, yeah, Data is capable of love. You know, he named her that. He chose that name.
He did. Well, did he choose the name or did she?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I would have thought Data did, but it could have been Lal. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Data, though...
They don't say.
Data realizes that Lyle needs to have the genuine human interaction from the very beginning that he didn't really get because, you know, he was just kind of locked up on that planet. So he takes Lyle to Guinan on 10 forward. And he feels that she can get, like, all of these different experiences with humans in the social part of the ship, which I think is a pretty good idea. And he's talking to Guinan about, like, you know, could you hire her as just, like, a server and take her on, let her interact with people? She's like, yeah, sure. And Lyle starts talking, and at one point she drops I've. She uses a contraction.
What?
Yeah, and Guinan's like, oh, wow, I've never heard you say that. You're an android. You can't use contractions. And then she's like, I don't know. I just did it. And Data is shocked.
You're better than me.
Right. And he seems a little taken aback, but he's like, I don't understand this at all.
I think he's proud.
Yeah. Well, he says, I'm glad that this happened, but I don't understand it. And he leaves. And Picard is...
He's as proud as I am of you, Patrick. of this I've show. Heard you use a contraction.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did. Oh, my God.
I'm proud of you, sir.
So Picard calls Data into the ready room and lets him know what's going on with the Admiral. Data doesn't really get the situation here. And he's like, well, you know, I feel that Lyle could learn more from me than, you know, Starfleet. You know, I would hope that she would stay here. He's like, no, you don't get it. They're saying you can't raise her. They're saying you're not allowed to raise her.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Why? There is no rationale that makes more sense for somebody who doesn't know how she's built, right? Doesn't know anything about her physiology.
Yeah.
Hasn't had any of the life experiences that she's had. And we have agreed that she's sentient. There is no reason that Starfleet research could raise her better.
Well, one of the things that Haftel had said was that they need a controlled environment, and that's like the Starfleet code or whatever. But there's only two androids in existence. How do they have this whole code about it? And we already established there is legal precedent that they have personhood. They're not just a toaster.
What's the controlled environment? Like new technology?
Yeah, I have no idea.
But she's not really new technology.
No. It's a being with a positronic brain. They already have legal protection.
Yes.
Like, that. There was a whole episode about this.
A great episode.
Yeah.
That we all have watched and loved.
So Data is like, well, how could he do that? Does he have children? And Picard,
I think he does. Yes.
Yeah, Picard is like, yeah, he is a father. I just don't think that he's a very good one, basically. Back in 10-4, Lyle is talking to Guinan, and she's watching this young couple. And she's like, what are they doing? And Guinan's like, you know, they're flirting. That's just, they're getting to know each other. They're engaging in social behavior. Like, this is a common thing that couples do. And then she's like, that man is biting that woman. And Guinan's like, no, that's kissing. That's not biting at all. It's fine. And you know what? I'm just going to let Data explain this to you.
Well, when she gets up, when they leave together, she goes, why are they leaving?
Oh, yeah.
And then
right.
Guinan's like, oh, some things your dad needs to explain.
Yeah.
Because they were about to get down.
Right.
Riker style.
Riker does actually come in at this point. Mm-hmm. Because he had just come back from shore leave. He has no idea who Lyle is. He just goes in and is, like, flirting with her and, like, asking her names. Like, oh, you're new here, whatever. And you can kind of see Guinan in the background, like, buddy. And then Lyle was, like, trying to try out some of this new knowledge that she just saw. She just grabs Riker and makes out with him.
Yeah, kisses him hard.
Right as Data comes in. And Data's like, Commander Riker, I demand to know what your intentions with my daughter are. And Riker's like, your daughter?
Gotta go.
See ya.
Books it.
And like
that whole line at the beginning was to set up this scene.
Jesus Christ.
Because he's on set this whole time. He's the director of this episode. So he's hanging out the whole time.
Yeah, he never comes back.
No,
either.
He's gone. Well, we see him in the bridge.
Yeah, on the bridge, like, maybe doing bridge stuff. There. He doesn't have any lines.
No.
But, like, this is pretty much the only thing. This is, like, this cartoon entrance.
Mm-hmm. It was great. I loved it.
But it does kind of spark this conversation between Lal and Data back in Data's quarters, where Lal is saying, you know, I'm not like humans. I will never know love. And Data's like, yeah, that's probably true. Like, I won't either. But it's just we're different, you know? We have to kind of get around that. There's a lot of other cool stuff you can do, but that it's hard. I totally empathize with
you. And what's supposed to happen, or what's better, is to strive for something you can never achieve than to just give up on it.
Exactly.
And she responds and says, Father, you're so wise.
Right.
And I think about that, too. It's like, that's great wisdom for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we'll feel love at some point in our lives. But when you think about self-improvement, and it also helps defend the point of view of the Federation saying, or humanity, I guess, better, people work because they want to better themselves.
Right, because they have, there's no scarcity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Unlimited resources, that's the condition Data is speaking to right now.
Yeah, and then Lal says, well, I learned today that one of the ways humans show affection is by holding hands, and then they hold hands.
It was cute.
And yeah, that was very
super
sweet.
Awkward, though.
Yeah, well, because they're androids. I don't really know how to do it. So that, that asshole Admiral that we were talking about earlier, he finally shows up. Admiral Haftel. And
Admiral Asshole?
Admiral Haftel.
Oh, I misheard.
Could be Admiral Asshole. Guy is a real piece of work.
This guy's a jerk.
Yeah. So he comes and he starts talking to Picard, and he's like, look, one of the things he says is, I did not come here to form an opinion, but to justify one. So he already knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He's looking for an excuse to take Lal away. And Picard...
Well, again, why?
I don't know.
What's your motivation, dude?
Yeah. And Picard is saying, look, all I'm asking you is just keep an open mind. Here's how Data sees this relationship. Look at it from his point of view. And the Admiral's like, that's not a satisfactory answer. And Picard's like, look, this is a person. Like, I've already established this in a court of law, that this, both of these people, they have legal personhood.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just split them up like that. But apparently they can. I don't know how they get around that. And they, like, the Admiral even acknowledges that, oh, yeah, I know that you helped define the legal standard here. But there is also the Starfleet regulation that says that this new creation has to be in a controlled environment. And I'm gonna do my duty to bring her there. You know, he kind of tries to follow Lal around to get an idea of what her interaction is.
It's a real stick in the mud.
Yeah, they go to 10 forward, and he's just like, oh, I can't believe she's working as a cocktail waitress.
I know. Stuff. Again, what a weird scene. First of all, this isn't like a place of ill repute.
No, it's on the ship.
It's on the ship.
It's like the mess hall.
Yeah. It's like, oh, she's working in the cafeteria? That's a bad gig?
Right. Well,
at least she's got a job.
Yeah. And
there's so many kids on this ship who have no jobs.
And what they're pointing out to him, what Guinan points out to the Admiral is, Admiral, you've been in a bar before in your time, I'm sure.
I love that line. Yeah.
And she also says, look, this isn't like a bad place. Everyone here is well behaved. And if not, I make them leave.
Yeah.
Like, she is just, this is where all people go to be social. What does she not know how to do? To be social with human beings. So this is where she's got to learn it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is an excellent point.
Agreed.
The Admiral does not see it that way.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, and he's like, get her out of here and have her report to me for an interview. So Lal goes to the conference room and with Picard there, and the Admiral's there. And
this scene is her best, I think.
I think she does really well here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Admiral is not being very straight with her. He's trying to pretend to be nice.
But he's kind of flippant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just saying, hey, look, wouldn't you agree that you'd be better off learning from us instead of working in a bar here? And she's like, what, have I done something wrong? I don't understand. And he says, well, you know, wouldn't you agree that there's a lot more to learn at Starfleet than there would be just on a starship? And she says, yes. He's like, okay, well, you should probably come with us. And then she says, well, logically, that would mean I would only come with you when I learn everything there is to know on this starship. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope, don't. But you can't, like, out-logic a robot.
No way.
An android.
No way.
Yeah. And finally, Picard is like, look, how about you just ask her what she wants? She is a living thing. Just ask her what she wants to do. And she's like, I want to stay in the Enterprise with my family. Because of course she does.
Right.
And the Admiral doesn't really accept it. Lyle leaves and is very distraught and goes to see Counselor Troy. Like,
distraught, you say?
Yeah, like she's just kind of like stuttering around. She looks to be in physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really move all that well.
What could this possibly mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know, because androids aren't supposed, they're not supposed to feel this stuff.
Huh.
So.
What's happening, Patrick?
Well, as we find out, nothing good. So, Deanna Troi is trying to take, like, guide Lyle to the lab, basically, because she feels pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she breaks down, basically.
She breaks down. She keeps punching herself, like, in the chest.
Yeah.
Being like, I feel!
Right. Man, it is hard to watch.
It is.
And back in the briefing room, at the Admiral Haftel is, he's talking to Data, and he's like, look, you got to hand Lyle over to us. Those are the rules.
Dumb to breaks.
Yep. And Data's like, look, I gave everything I had to the Academy, and the Academy made me what I am. I created Lyle because I wanted to give something back. I wanted to give them something like me. I raised her in the hopes that she would want to go to Starfleet Academy on her own accord. I can't agree with this. The Admiral's like, well, you know, you would make it really easy for us if you just agreed to have her sent to us. And he says, no, I can't do that. I'm her father. Then he's ordered to have her sent. And Picard says, belay that order.
Hell yeah, Picard.
And the Admiral says, you're risking your entire life and career. He says, I know. But, you know, there's just some things that are more important than
following
orders. Men of
character.
Yeah.
Do this.
Damn.
Hell yeah, Picard.
And, you know, he tries to appeal to the Admiral's sense that it's like, look, dude, you have kids too. You don't understand how this is, like, this is tearing this family apart. But it's because the Admiral doesn't see them as a family. He doesn't even see them as living beings, really. He, you know, when he first talks to Picard, he only begrudgingly accepts that, like, you established the legal precedent that they're humans. But that's all he gives a shit about, is the legal precedent, not the moral one at all. He doesn't
care. I don't think he really believes it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's like, still, like, space racist.
Right, exactly. He's still bigoted.
Yeah.
And one of the things Picard says was, order a man to hand his child over to the state, not while I'm his captain.
Love that.
He is about to go over, like, the Admiral's head. There's going to be a whole court-martial thing going on here. But then they get a call from the lab. Something has gone terribly wrong. Troy is there. She says, look, Lyle, she was in pain. She was very frightened. She was malfunctioning. It was difficult for her to walk, so I brought her here. Something is wrong. And Data says it's something called a cascade failure. She
cascade of emotions.
Yeah, she experienced emotional awareness, and it started to break down all of her functions because that wasn't supposed to happen.
No, her positronic brain couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm. So the Admiral and Data, they're going to work to do surgery, basically. And they open up her head and they get to work. Outside, Geordi and Wesley and Troy, they're all waiting. The Admiral comes out and he's like, look, every time we'd fix a circuit, another one would depolarize and it just kept happening. We couldn't fix it. But I saw Data. His hands were moving faster than I could even see.
So when he says this line, I think to myself, this Admiral did nothing in that room. What could he have possibly done?
What could he? Yeah.
Nothing. So he just inserted himself into a situation, stood there, and watched Data try to save his dying child.
But he says she's going to live for a little more, and there's nothing that we can do to save.
It's very sad.
To save Lyle. But Data did his damnedest because this was his kid. So he says it just wasn't meant to be. Back in the lab, Lyle and Data are looking at each other. This is the last time they're ever going to see each other. And Data is saying, look, here's what happened. You had a system failure. I can't correct it. We have to say goodbye now. And then Lyle says that she feels love. Data says, I'm sorry that I can't feel it with you. She says, I will feel it for both of us. Ugh. She says a few words, like random things that Data taught her, and then shuts down. Back on the bridge, Data's saying, what happened? Look, she had a neural system failure. She's not here anymore. And everyone's like, wow, Data, I'm really sorry. He's like, you don't have to be, because I kept her here. And he points to his brain. He says, all of the stuff that she experienced, all of her memories, I downloaded it to me. So she's still here. She's with me. And then he goes back to his post. And the Enterprise goes back on its mission. And that's it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Real downer.
Real downer of an ending. But I thought it was interesting because was that supposed to be like him transferring her memories back into his brain? Is that supposed to be like, you know, we all still hold on to the memories of the ones we love?
Yeah.
Again, indicating Data made that choice to do that.
Independently.
He's capable of love. He's just unaware of what it is.
Yep.
You and I, we've cracked the code on this episode, Patrick. Oh, man, I loved it. When you were describing that to me, I know I got pretty quiet. I was just captivated again. Captivated by that episode. I think it's so fantastic.
It's really sad.
Yeah. And it, I don't know, it's like, this is what sci-fi can do. It can tell stories like this. That's wonderful. Anyway, Patrick, this is a part of the podcast where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, if it comes up in the queue, give it a watch, we set to stun. And if it was horrible, avoid at all costs. No need to ever even let enter your eye. We leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what'd you think?
You know, I wavered for a little bit if this was set to stun or set to kill. I think I'm going to go with set to kill.
Yeah!
It was good.
Boop, 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 boop,
it's not Measure of a Man set to kill.
No.
You know, there's some issues with it. You know, there's stuff that I thought, like, I thought we already solved this. You know, like, are they human or are they living beings? Yes. But this is like, oh, what it means to be a parent and what it means to raise kids and whose responsibilities are what and can Data feel love? Like, these are cool questions to watch play out in this little bottle episode like this. And, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So give it a watch. Set to kill, yeah.
Yeah, booyah. Completely agree, obviously. I was getting sentimental as you were describing the episode. Agree with all points, though. I think it's supposed to be the angle of parental rights versus individual rights, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, that's the angle the writers were trying to take on this. Like, what do parental rights mean through the lens of an android? But agreed, we've already established the rules of this universe and what people, what has been decided legally.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this admiral has no grounds to stand on throughout the entire episode. No. So that's what makes it not quite Measure of a Man. It's like, yeah, I understand why this antagonist is here. We need it to drive story, but he has no strong motivation.
Yeah.
There's no real reason for him. Otherwise, fantastic episode. I love it. Every time, people talk about Star Trek, I love bringing up this episode because it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to talk about, Patrick?
Well, there is one thing.
What's that?
You may have heard us mention, if you've listened to Patrick in the past couple weeks, that we now have a Patreon.
What?
A Patreon.
What's that?
It's a place where you can give monthly donations, and in exchange you will get either our goodwill or access to patron-only shows.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, we did release a couple last week, or 2 weeks ago. We have the Star Trek Adventures, the first part of which you can listen to for free if you want to. But then we have two more episodes of that that are patron-only. So for $5 a month donation, you'll have access to that. Also, next month, we're going to get started watching the original series
of
Star Trek. So it'll be just like this show, except the original series of with, you know, Captain Kirk and all that. All of the regular Patrick episodes, though, those are free.
Mm-hmm.
And those will also live on the Patreon site,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Tumblr that we have. So you can go to either one of those.
And I believe, I don't know, Patrick is in charge of the Patreon. We set up an RSS feed,
there
right?
is. Oh, however... Good. Yeah. Thanks for bringing this up, because Sophia pointed this out to me on Twitter. If you signed up for the Patreon, it sent you an email with the RSS feed For some reason, we can't make that public. I'm not really sure why, but that's just how Patreon is set up. So check your email for the Patreon thing that you got when you signed up, and it should have the link to it. If it doesn't, bother me on Twitter at Patrick Winninger, or bother Pat, and one of us will send it to
you. Yeah, and you can bother me at Pat Likes to Tweet.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out from there. But yeah, so you can then, if you have the RSS feed, you can hook it up to your podcatcher and all sorts of places.
Whatever app you use.
Yeah, so it's just as convenient as subscribing to the regular podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, please, if you've got the time and you've got a couple extra bucks and you want to hear us talk about the original series or play a couple role-playing games, go over to patreon.com/Patrick.
Yep.
We'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Please listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive Dungeons & Dragons adventure where my friends and I take suggestions from the listeners, and we turn them into adventures, encounters, plot twists, whatever you guys send in, and we live those out. It's a blast. We love doing it. Check that out or submit your encounter at thedungeonrats.com.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.